Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Tom Gaffey, Director of Recycling Enforcement for the Materials Innovation and Recycling Authority. Good morning, sir.
Big business card.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Good to be on. Thanks for the opportunity. Long-time listener.
Oh, thank you so much.
Very
appreciate
much.
That. Right. Well, he's the trash. Sorry.
He likes being around garbage, so he exactly. listens to the show.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
It's a great business.
What's the deal with the recycling? When they dump the can into the same hole in the back of the truck?
What's up with that?
Shouldn't be dumping that into the same compartment of the truck. A lot of trucks are bifurcated, so you have recycling on one side and the regular garbage on the other side. They should never be putting it in the same compartment in the vehicle.
See, in my neighborhood, we have two different trucks go by. First, the recycling guy comes by, then the garbage truck comes by.
Not me.
Uh-oh. Someone's in trouble.
Oh, you just narked them, Chaz.
Okay, I'm not saying what company it is.
No, of course not. No.
Maybe we should all get fixed.
Right.
I'm good. I've seen some of the movies about these people.
That they do have separate compartments for recycling and another compartment for the regular trash.
I thought, the only possible explanation for this is they dump it in, they dump the garbage in,
right,
and then some kind of like trap door moves.
Right.
And then they dump it in the same hole, but it just goes into a different spot in the truck. Are there trucks like that?
No, and that wouldn't work because you'd never want the recycling mixed in with the regular trash because the regular trash is going to contaminate the recycling.
Right.
It always should be separated.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, it could go in the same hole but end up in different spots in the truck by something inside moving.
Yeah, something falls left and falls to the right.
I've never heard of a vehicle like that.
Okay.
Wow. Right. Okay. Well, my recycling is just going in the garbage.
Oops.
No.
Well, that's not good. That's illegal in the state of Connecticut.
Well, I'm not going to talk about who I use because I don't want any trouble.
Right.
You could tell me, and then I could tell him.
Mine does everything in the up and up.
Nope.
Yep. Ashley will give me a call later on.
No, she won't.
She'll totally
know. No, she won't.
Now her phone just broke.
Tom, when you when these companies take the recycling, the 5-cent returnable stuff, do they pull that out, and do they get the 5 cents? How does that work?
No, because when the recycling comes to a recycling facility and is dumped on the tipping floor, it's all together. The single stream recycling is all mixed in, or you call it mixed recycling. And it then is pushed on a huge conveyor belt, all the recycling, and the cardboard like surfs over the top of these screens and the other paper, and the glass drops to the bottom, the cans and the plastic are shot over to a different conveyor. So it's a very automated type of a system.
Oh, wow.
You do have employees that sort in the first pre-sort area to take out anything that doesn't belong there, like garden hoses.
By hand.
By hand, yeah.
Nice.
You have a number of people, but you still have to use regular human labor to pre-sort out materials that don't belong in the recycling. A lot of people put things that don't belong in the recycling.
Yeah. Like what? You mentioned garden hose. What else?
Garden hoses. We don't want batteries. Batteries are the number one cause of fire, particularly the lithium batteries in the recycling business. So we don't want any batteries, don't want any motor oil, any paint, any plastic bags, certainly no propane tanks, no helium tanks from your birthday parties.
Right.
What do you do with the helium tanks?
They don't pick them up?
We pull them out. Oh. We pull them out, and we have a scrap dealer that comes in and collects the tanks. And
but if you don't want us to put them there, where do you want us to put them?
Oh, don't ask that.
Well, ideally, they should be going back to the store you bought it from.
Really?
Okay, they'll take them back?
Do they have to legally take it back?
They have to take it back. You sold it to them. It's a material that should be returned to that store.
I heard pizza boxes can't go in.
It depends if they're shiny or not.
They can go in as long as they're not loaded with the cheese.
If
it's just a dry pizza box, that's fine.
What about the grease?
Wait, the pizza boxes. This is a thing for me.
Okay.
I can explore this a little bit. We'll get to Ashley.
All right, okay.
The pizza boxes, if they have the shiny finish, you don't want them. But if it's the cardboard, you want them, right?
cardboard is what we want, correct?
Right.
So the shiny finish, yeah, the white one with the guy with the
with the guy. Hey, he's tried the rest.
That's a pizza. Yeah.
Don't put that one in.
That guy's not going in.
The brown cardboard generic box, put that in.
That'll when you just burn your yard, right?
Take the little piece of paper on the bottom with the cheese on it out.
Put that in the garbage.
Right.
Ashley?
The little Barbie table, yeah.
What if the grease soaks through the cardboard box? Right. Is that still okay?
Then put it in the garbage.
Don't. Put it in the garbage.
In the garbage,
that's
right.
That's horrible, though.
Just take the backyard and set it on fire. It's good for the environment.
I mean, if it's just a little bit grease, it's fine.
Yeah.
But if it's all soaked through, we don't want it.
Yeah. Like
it.
Really,
interesting.
I don't eat that pizza
anymore.
We
need to be better educated on this.
Yes.
Because I think we all throw stuff in that recycling. We think, oh, well, it's made of plastic.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't believe the material we get here that should never be in the recycling. I mean, there are some people that are, we call it wish recycling, that they think that everything could be recycled. But recycling is a business. I mean, we can't sell garbage. I can sell cardboard, aluminum, tin. I can't sell garbage. It just doesn't belong in there.
You know, you make like a macaroni and cheese, they have the microwave kind, has that brown dish that comes in a plastic dish, and it's microwave safe and everything. Can that go in the recyclables? Does that go in the garbage?
Good question.
That goes in the garbage.
Okay. Oops.
See, this is this is like we are so, and I do it all the time. I'm throwing stuff in there. I'm like, I know they can't use this, right?
Engine block.
I'm
yeah.
not sure.
But, yeah.
What about those?
AJ, we have received engine blocks.
Oh yeah, so you got it.
Wait, really?
We've had ammunition, we've had guns, we have to call the Harvard Police Department.
Wow.
We've had. I'll never forget this. One fall, we had a deer carcass that somebody put in the recycling.
A deer carcass?
It contaminated the entire load on
the floor.
You can't
recycle that.
Unless
you can't make a new one.
What about the metal one in your eye that had lights on it?
I think people put stuff in that bin.
You
get those too.
I think people put stuff in that bin, and then it's someone else's problem.
Right.
Like, I did what
exactly
I was supposed
right.
to do.
Right.
Goodbye.
Out of sight, out of mind, yeah.
I closed the lid, and I don't have to think about it again.
We do need to be better educated what to put in.
Chaz, that's exactly correct. That's the number one issue for recycling worldwide. You have to educate people what belongs in the bin and what doesn't.
You need a pamphlet that says, listen up, you idiots.
Yeah. Well, what about those little numbers, like on the bottom of plastic or
the barcode
thing? There's a recycling sign with a number inside.
Yeah, you know, your ones and twos are definitely the most valuable plastic recycling commodities. But, these numbers are really a marketing ploy by the people that sell the products. They believe that once they have a number on it that, people are going to buy it because it's, quote-unquote, recyclable.
Oh.
A lot of those numbers are not recyclable in that there's no market for that material. There's no market for styrofoam.
Don't put styrofoam in there.
Right.
No, don't put styrofoam. Don't put those little styrofoam balls that your packaging comes in.
Oh, the peanuts.
Yeah, the peanuts.
Hate those things.
In the recycling. They just blow all over the place.
All right, so what do you do? Put them in the garbage?
It's almost like you've been through my recycling bin.
Right. He was the guy in the bushes.
Wow, I've made a lot of mistakes.
Right, and the engine block was not good.
Most people really try to do the right thing, but, we have to do a better job in Connecticut in educating people what belongs in the recycling bin and what doesn't.
I got to tell you, the phones are going nuts. Right. They have a lot of questions.
I'm sure they do.
We may take them during the commercial break and then ask you on the air. The Amazon boxes all get reused, like we break them down for you.
You flatten them out, yeah. Right?
Yeah,
right.
The corrugated cardboard's a good commodity. It's right now trading at about $129 a ton, so it's valuable.
Really?
Seems like a lot of cardboard to collect.
Right. Couldn't I go to a pawn shop with that?
With cardboard?
With a cardboard.
Sometimes you should just
get all
keep
the money.
That dumb thought in your head.
I got this really nice box over here.
Hey, Amazon. Hey.
All right, I got one more. We'll take a break and then we'll get back. And the tribe has a lot of questions. The plastic bottles that are returnables. So what I do, like a water bottle, I'll crunch it up so I could fit more in my garbage.
You're flattening it.
Is that bad? Can you still use them or reuse them or whatever?
Well, if it's coming to us, yeah, we'll be able to sort that out and get it in a bale and sell it. If it's going to a redemption center or you're back to your store where you bought it, they just have to be able to read that barcode in order for it to go through the machine.
Gotcha.
All right. The plastic bottles, someone told me they end up at the bottom of the ocean. Is that true?
Aww.
No, plastic bottles are a very valuable commodity, and we bail them up and we sell them.
Great.
Markets all over the world. So
great.
They should never be in the bottom of the ocean. We don't want that.
Okay, we're not dumping garbage on the bottom of the ocean, are we?
No.
Of course not.
No, the garbage in Connecticut, there are no garbage landfills left in Connecticut. There's bulky waste landfills, and there's landfills where they take the ash from the waste energy plants. But all the garbage in Connecticut is turned into electricity after it's combusted about 1,800 degrees Fahrenheit. But all those plants are getting old. We're going to be closing ours in Hartford this summer. And that's a whole different issue about what's going to happen with Connecticut's garbage. Most of it's going to be going out west to Ohio or Pennsylvania. And the problem with that is
you got to truck it
or you ship it by rail. And if there's train derailment or there's a highway issue or just bad weather, all of a sudden garbage is going to start piling up. So it's a real challenge for Connecticut that very few people are talking about.
So whatever we're paying to have our garbage removed now is probably going to go up soon.
Isn't everything?
Absolutely.
Holy crap.
Yep. Oh, man.
Andre and Derby.
Hey, what's up?
Yo.
So, quick question. I have a real old fire extinguisher. The thing's huge. And I called the fire department. They don't know what to do with it. How do I get rid of this thing?
Yeah, the person to call would be your local fire marshal to ask them, ask him what to do with it, because they have to get rid of theirs. So that's what I would do.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I'm thinking trunk of the coffin.
I think I know which one you're talking about, too. One of those old school metal ones that weigh like 100 pounds.
Yeah, that ring on the top.
Yep. You know where you go?
Like,
antique store.
Like
nice.
Yeah.
It'll be someone else's decor. Department.
Yeah.
Yeah, man cave.
You know, I call the fire department in Derby. They're like, oh, I don't know. So, well.
I would speak to the fire marshal. He'll be able to help you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Andre.
I think we're dirty. Yeah. I don't know.
Adam in Bridgeport.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Yo.
Hey. So I live in Bridgeport. Densely populated area. It's obvious that as Americans, we're consuming everything.
What's the question?
Why do they only pick up every other week? I got recycling coming out of the container, and I write letters to the sanitation department and the recycling department for my city. I'm emailing. Nobody contacts me back. I'm like, why is this only every other week?
You don't hire a private person. It's the city picking it up?
No, it comes out of my high taxes, you know, paying for everybody.
Okay.
Gotcha, yeah.
Well,
nice.
Yeah, that's a question for your local public works director. I would contact the public works director. He's in charge of that. They're responsible for it because you have city pickup. And pose that question to him.
Yep. Say, what's up?
Maybe you're throwing too much stuff in your recycling.
And,
Most every other week, so.
No, but what I'm saying is maybe he's throwing stuff in there that he shouldn't be recycling.
Nah, you know, the wife and me and everybody in the house.
Why is it her fault?
Well, he jumped in there and said the wife and me and everybody else. It's all collective.
Thank you, Adam.
Yeah.
She's not exempt. She drank that bottle of juice.
It's always the wife.
She drank that bottle of juice. The guava mixture.
What else would you like us to know?
Just that, you know, your normal household recycling items are your corrugated cardboard, your junk mail, your newspapers.
Wait, your junk mail?
Oh, really?
Junk mail, absolutely.
Give me lots of that.
All your junk mail, your magazines, your
bills.
Newspapers.
Magazines. Oh, really?
Yep, absolutely. Corrugated cardboard, your tin cans, aluminum cans, your milk jugs, your detergent bottles, your soda bottles, your water bottles. Those are all recycling items that we want you to put in the container. Don't put your garden hoses. Don't put plastic bags. Don't put batteries. Don't put paint or motor oil. Don't put your old lawn furniture in there.
Or lawnmower.
Or lawnmower blades. We get a lot of lawnmower blades.
Wow.
And they're dangerous. And for some odd reason, we get a lot of bowling balls, which is really weird.
Those are guys who are giving up the game.
Nobody goes bowling anymore.
Or they hit it on the way in the house. Oh, geez, she's here.
That feels like a joke from the garbage guys.
No, but what would you do with a bowling ball when you got a new one?
Go play.
So can they put it in the garbage?
You could put it in the garbage, yeah.
Okay, put it in the garbage, not the recycling.
Don't put it in recycling.
Right. The magazines you mentioned, like, how do you do that? Would they be bundled with, like...
Just put them in there.
No, just put them in there. Don't bundle up anything. Just put them right in there.
I'm going to be filling mine up. I got a lot of magazines to get rid of. Yeah. Thank you very much. Yep. Very helpful.
Well, you're getting a purple dumpster,
sure,
too.
Yeah. And what about the Chinese food? Sometimes it's containers, the plastic containers, like the white round container or the square kind with the lid on top. Does that go in there or does that go in the garbage?
With the lid on top. Oh, you mean the food container with the lid on top as opposed to the food container without the lid.
I'm just being very specific here.
Yeah, the takeout food containers.
Yes.
Garbage.
Not the one that converts.
I know what you're talking about.
Right.
I do the same thing.
Szechuan.
I think it's plastic. It goes in the recycling.
Right.
Even if you rinse it.
Yeah, rinse it first, right?
No, throw it in the garbage.
That's garbage?
Put it in the garbage.
Oh, he said garbage five times. Well, you're still like, oh, rinse it out?
Well, no, Phil was talking.
I'm asking.
The two of you were talking. I couldn't hear him.
No, it goes in the garbage.
Okay. So yeah, I was doing that wrong. I was putting in the recycling.
He's going to get off the phone and say, yeah.
I don't think I helped at all.
Sure you did.
We're so confused.
Now, give it magazines and my Chinese food cartons go in the right receptacle.
Yeah, no bowling balls.
Yeah, you want the magazines in the recycling.
Got you.
Is there a list somewhere where you can access this information?
Yeah, you know what? I could send you a good list that we have. It's a color brochure that you could put on your website.
Great. That'll be a great start, and then we'll have you back.
Yeah.
Tom, thanks for
Super.
What you do. Appreciate
yeah, man. Thank
it.
Thank you.
Hey, great talking to you guys. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you. Mama Bear has crashed her last party.
Aw. Poor bear.
Yeah.
Just trying to get a bite to eat.
State officials killed a bear in Canton on Monday after they say it was found breaking into several homes in North Canton. And we spoke to somebody. Was it this week?
It was like late last week.
Last week, I think.
Okay. Yeah, late last week.
And we posted the picture. The bear showed up at her party.
Yeah,
her
pizza
birthday party.
Pizza party.
And just
had pizza.
Started eating pizza.
Right. Well, you know. Didn't bring a gift, but ate pizza anyway. It was okay. I'm not going to judge here.
Is it okay?
Is it more like
you go to a birthday party?
If you eat,
better bring a gift.
Yeah, but I mean, you can always get the gift like within like the first week or something like that, you know? So, it's kind of like the wedding. Right, but you know, it's the same deal, you know. Mm. If you're a really good friend, people understand, they know you'll get back to it.
Yeah, so according to the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection, econ officers found that the bear had attempted to break into a home through the front door. The homeowner who was home at the time reported trying to scare the bear away by ringing a bell. Although the homeowner's dog was also barking, the bear was not deterred and tried to break in through a window. This is exactly what we heard with
yeah.
The other story, showed up at the party,
yeah.
Tried to get through the door, came through the window.
But the bear had no tags on it, so therefore it should have just been like, you know, put out and then taken someplace like they do with one tag. It only had no tags yet.
Also, very polite bear. It went right through the front door.
It did. It rang first, actually.
It did.
It did. Like, right.
It wiped its feet on the mat.
It wiped its bare feet on the mat. Exactly right.
Its bare feet.
Right. But unfortunately, the claws tore the mat apart.
Hey, no bare feet in here.
Ah, damn it.
That's all I have.
Yeah, sorry.
All I have is bare feet.
Can I borrow a pair of shoes then? Yeah. And clown shoes, something to carry these claws here.
Officials said... the bear did eventually retreat and was gone when officers arrived on the scene. Officials said 3 hours later, they received a second call at East Hill Road, approximately 400 yards away from the first call.
This time it poses DoorDash.
Now, keep in mind, there were calls last week, and now they're on their second or third call this week.
Right.
Your order's ready.
Right.
Officers responded to where a property owner had returned home to find the bear had entered the home by breaking through a window and ransacking the kitchen.
Oh. Where's the good stuff? Where's the good stuff? Where's the good stuff? Where's the good stuff? What's this healthy crap?
Yeah, it didn't find the first thing of food and like, oh,
right.
Great.
Yeah, this is good.
Like,
no,
not good.
No.
Yeah, let me taste it.
The other place had pizza.
Nah,
yeah, I want
good.
Pizza. I want some burgers this time. Some onion rings maybe.
Yeah, once you roll up at a party and you have birthday pizza and cake.
Yeah, it's just tough to go back.
Well, she had to keep looking. She had four cubs to feed.
Exactly, yeah.
I didn't get to that part of the story yet.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Baker's flour. Blech.
Yeah, I'm supposed to bake this crap? Come on.
Where are the chocolate chips?
Yeah. So let's just roll the report.
We really enjoy them, but this year they seem to be a bit of a nuisance.
An increase nuisance? In bear sightings.
Nuisance?
In Canada.
What the hell state is he from?
Nuisance. pizza.
From Canton, Connecticut?
Yeah.
Do they talk like that in Canton?
Canton speaking. Nuisance.
This year they seem to be a bit of a nuisance.
That's the worst.
It's Inspector Clouseau.
Did he mispronounce that, or is that how he speaks?
He said, yes, maybe I had to sneeze.
I don't know.
You know, you have to sneeze like a...
Or you get a gnat that flies in the back of your throat.
Right.
Look at the light. It helps. Look at the light.
Nothing.
James. Hello.
Hey.
Yo. Yeah.
It's like that episode of SNL, Land Shark.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
That's exactly what this bear was.
Canton bear.
An increase in bear sightings have neighbors in Canton on edge. Environmental police responded to North Mountain Road on reports of this bear trying to break in through a window. A few hours later, another.
Is that the bear?
That's the guy, the nuisance guy. He finally sneezed. Gotcha. I knew I had to sneeze.
It was coming. I'm sorry I couldn't get it out before I said my last sentence.
Sorry, me, Jedi.
The other thing that's distracting is Ken Houston's voice is so loud, he's picking up on all the microphones. It sounds like he has a bucket on his head.
And perfect pronunciation, too.
That bass just
his
carries.
His T's are T's and his consonants are consonants.
This bear trying to break in through a window. A few hours later, another call reporting the bear broke into a different house. With public safety in mind, they say the decision was made to euthanize the bear. This after another incident when the mother bear and her cubs crashed a birthday party.
But that was the birthday party we talked to.
Yeah. Yes.
Had to have been.
We have pictures.
How many birthday parties?
Bear had a hat and everything.
Yeah.
Remember, had a little streamer? In his mouth.
Just noise waiting maker. For it to be, I don't have a plate. Should I just eat it?
Chaz and AJ.
No sense.
But hey.
Hello.
Yeah, all of this is bad. Like, you got to start talking. What do you got?
It sounds like Ringo Starr.
Thank you.
Who? Ken Houston?
The bear?
Nuisance. He's about to talk again. Here he comes.
Nuisance.
But what's happened recently with the kids' party and stuff, that's just a little too much, a little too scary, breaking into people's homes. I think they're just getting a little too humanized.
Okay, wait a minute.
Humanized.
I don't remember us killing you. If you break into a house and steal some food.
Right. Well, in some neighborhoods,
well, they're humanized, so
right.
Kill them.
Got to pop them.
Really?
Yep.
Because you could steal a car around here.
Yeah. And get out.
And be
not
fine.
Even go to jail.
Get a free T-shirt.
We won't even put you in a bear cage.
No. Take a picture with us, and then you get to go.
They let all you right. out. You got to ride home? No, I'll just take one in the parking lot.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
As for its cubs, all four were tranquilized to be transported and relocated. One did survive, though, but the others have been released into a remote wooded area where they can search for food.
Wait, what? I said,
what do you
wait,
mean?
He meant to say one died.
One didn't survive.
One didn't survive. He's one survived.
One didn't survive.
He made a boo-boo.
Oh,
they over-tranquilized?
Something happened. Yeah, it didn't revive.
I remember when the moose was around here.
Yes, the moose. Yes,
we're like, why don't they just trank it and take it elsewhere? And
exactly.
Like, it's actually pretty dangerous.
Yeah,
because you have no idea how the animal is going to respond.
How it's going to fall, timber, big
yes.
animal.
Yes, yeah. So I wonder.
It doesn't go right out.
No,
so you have that right. time period right. where
do we hit it again? Or
loose.
Yeah. So
yeah.
I wonder if that had to do with this.
Well, you know, maybe they gave it an adult dose.
Right.
Like,
oh, we really tranquilized it.
No, no, we used the children's tranquilizer.
Maybe it's not dead. Maybe it's going to wake up in like 3 weeks.
Wow,
I'm hungry.
Dude. That was some
and
party.
Where's mommy?
That was some party. Let's know it was pizza.
Like that scene in Pulp Fiction when they bring her back to life. That was effing trippy, man.
I don't know. So what do you do? Is there a Canton Facebook page? I'd love to see what the citizens of Canton.
I'm sure there is somewhere.
Saying.
Canton Talks.
Bit of a nuisance.
Nuisance.
Ooh, Canton, Connecticut chatter.
Nice. I have a feeling that if these bears could do tricks, they wouldn't be put down.
No.
Like if that bear, like if the agents, the officers showed up and the bear like got on a bicycle and started riding.
And juggled.
It,
yeah.
I'd be like, that's kind of cool.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. You're a circus bear. Okay. Sorry about that. You're a circus bear.
I think to AJ's point, if they showed up with a gift, it'd be like, ooh.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on in.
Right.
It's the birthday bear. Hello.
Exactly.
I guess we have to kill him because
too comfortable around people.
What's the liability if they look the other way? This thing's breaking into houses, then gets a hold of a dog and rips it apart,
or a child. Yeah, now you can't let that happen.
Yeah, it just seems weird that we have a police department that just is supposed to protect us from animals.
Yeah,
it's like, well, we live in the woods.
Yeah, we're here first.
Is there anything in between euthanizing it or doing nothing? Like,
relocation.
There's got to be something.
I think relocation.
Yeah.
They give the bear a new identity.
Take out part of its brain.
Right. We need that thing.
Didn't we used to do that to humans?
Yes, lobotomies.
Yeah, you're a nuisance.
Yes. Nuisance.
Yeah, we're going to take out part of your brain.
Yeah, but then they'll become legislators.
That's true.
This was right
out on that Facebook page.
I have to
Become a member or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, they have to accept you.
You can't become part of the Canton Circle.
And you know they won't accept me, so.
Right. It's interesting. That those aren't really public forums.
Yeah.
It's like you can only come in and speak if we allow you to.
We need those pen things they had in Men in Black for the bear. Look at the red light. It forgets everything, doesn't know how to break into houses, not familiar with people anymore.
It's sad because we create this.
Yeah. They kind of were here
first. We don't do anything everyone tells us. Like, we leave our garbage out. We don't clean our grills.
Yeah.
We have bird feeders. And then it's like, what the hell is going on with this bear?
You need to do something about the
bears. The nerve of this bear going after the food I left out.
Yeah.
Jerk.
We had a pool party 2 days ago, and the food's been out there, and I don't know what to do about these bears.
I know.
Is there any case of a bear attacking and hurting a person in Connecticut? Like, one case?
I have not black bears. I mean, the grizzlies will tear your ass apart.
We don't have grizzlies.
Yeah, we don't. And most of the time, they just run. You know, they just kind of like one.
This one didn't.
Just
that was a real problem.
So a lot of times, they just lumber past. Look, hey, don't.
So
just keep on going.
That's the first time that I've heard this.
You know, you don't smell like a sandwich.
The bear just won't leave.
Yeah.
Like, normally, you can at least scare him away.
Yeah.
This one was real interesting because it showed up at a party with humans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Didn't care.
Yeah. No.
Got into the house where humans were.
Used the bathroom.
Couldn't get through the door. Went through the window.
Yep.
Yeah.
Opened the window.
It did. It
Very
did.
Smart.
Right. Then they got the keys to the car, went to the drive-through.
Right. I mean, they're all just looking for food. For
right. And that was all the same incident that Chaz was like, that was all one
bear.
Visit. That was one bear, one visit.
Fucking Burger King, can't you order? Number one, number two,
Was that a Diet Coke?
In Russia, they take that bear, and you would see it in the circus.
They would.
I'd watch the window-opening bear.
Oh, yeah. Hey, look at that. Break into the house.
They just have a line of windows
they
in
would.
The middle
they
of
would.
The circus.
Yeah. It's the amazing breaking bear.
Let's see if it gets through this door.
Right.
Oh, look at that.
Ha!
Watch it eat pizza.
Ha! Look at take it, jewelry.
Don't take vodka from Baba.
Ha!
It's funny that we find a smart bear, and we're like, nah, we got to kill this
one. I know. Right.
All the other dumb bears.
I know.
Nah, they could go around.
Right, yeah.
This one likes people.
Intelligent.
Likes pizza.
Yep.
Can open a window.
Friendly.
Use the keys. Yep. I already even made himself a drink.
I don't know.
Yeah, martini. Shaking that stirred.
Exactly.
Seems like we can examine this one.
Right, it was tough. Only get that one olive out.
Yep. Teach it some tricks.
Right, exactly.
So, state of Connecticut, next time you can bring them right to Ashley's backyard. She wants all the bears.
I just don't want them hurt. It's sad.
Well, what's the solution?
Where do they
then?
Go?
They should go to Bearville. We should have like a section called Bearville.
I don't know. There's again,
all the bears in Bearville.
Got to be a solution between euthanasia and nothing.
Ashley's backyard.
We can cart them over to Rhode Island. Here you go. Yeah. Your turn.
It is a tough call.
It is because then you know.
I don't want to hear about people losing their dogs to bears.
No, certainly.
Watch out for AJ.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. I just calling about the bear story that you guys are talking about.
Yes.
There actually was a bear that bit a person hiking out in Naugatuck area, I think it was last fall. I mean, the DEP's been trying for 6 or 7 years to open up a season because they're starting to become nuisances. They're not relocating them anymore.
What's keeping the DEP from doing that?
The legislature.
Oh, of course, yes.
The state is shutting it down. So.
You could steal a car.
Right, right.
And walk.
Right, I'm just picturing a bear in Naugatuck. Had a Yankees jersey on.
Exactly.
Gold chain. Hey, I don't.
unfortunately, somebody's going to get hurt. If you go online and you look at, I believe it's Alaska, I think they have more
yes.
black bear. People get hurt by black bears than they do by grizzly bears. So somebody's right. going to get hurt.
And, you think and, so?
The first yep. news article I pulled up was from Alaska, and the headline is, "Something Bit My Butt."
Yeah.
So I'm Sarah Palin. What side are you on? Seriously.
Well, that would be a bad thing, that's but...
Different yeah. kind of bear.
Oh, sorry.
I'm reading an article that was written back in April, and it says that there have not been any reported fatal bear attacks in the state.
There you go. See?
Yeah, has been no fatal, but I know of a couple of them. There's the one in Naugatuck, and then I know somebody else that got bit up in Woodstock. And when they showed up, the officers, they said, do not report this. So they're trying to keep it low-key.
What?
But people are getting hurt.
But they're animals, fine,
animals are going to bite, though. They're animals.
Hold it. Who would say to someone, don't report this?
It keeps them QT because of bad.
How's that even possible? You got to go get rabies.
The DEP is trying to keep it quiet.
I don't know if I believe that.
Are they going to lose funding or something? Or you know.
Well, I know somebody that got mauled by a bear up in Woodstock. So
do you have their number?
I do not have their number, but
they're
was,
fine, though, right?
It seems like a UFO sighting.
Are they good now?
Like, I heard, and I know, but you can't talk to them.
You learn never put marshmallows in your mouth to feed a bear.
Look, if you're right, like, that's interesting. I mean,
let's put it this way. It's just like mountain lions. There's no mountain lions in Connecticut. The one that got hit on, was it Route 9?
It was from South Carolina.
Route 15, yeah.
Ago with
yeah.
South Dakota. So
South Dakota.
Yep. Yep.
So there's a deer population control issue, and...
There's a human population control issue.
Yeah, you're seriously.
Right. You're right, there is. We're taking over all their property.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
But once somebody gets hurt, more than likely some politician's little puppy gets eaten or something like that, then maybe they'll do something.
Just keep an eye on your dog. Yep. Mm.
You know, yesterday I work in Simsbury. There was probably a 350-pound bear in
that's
the
a hot spot, that town.
That I went by.
Yeah, they like Simsbury.
Why do I think that Simsbury's around stuff?
Oh, there's a lot of woodland, a lot of area.
Huh. Yeah, they like that stuff.
Simsbury, Avon, Canton, that whole...
Close to trains. Or
Neach.
That's funny. What do you call it, AJ? Bear Canyon?
I think of it just outside of Hartford, so I think it's developed.
Right, well, these are professional bears. They go to work, they have briefcases, they commute.
Bear cars.
You may see them on Metro North.
What do you do for a living, can I ask?
Yeah, I work for an explosives manufacturer.
Nice.
Wow.
You busy
all over here?
You busy right now? You make like fireworks or dynamite?
We make stuff for munitions.
Cool.
All sorts of different things.
You have the voice for it.
Yes,
you do. You
it
do.
It matches his job.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Absolutely.
That's a cool job.
Very nice, man.
How's
very
your
nice.
Hearing?
Yeah.
But
it's fine.
He doesn't test them. He just makes them.
Yeah, exactly right. Somebody else
all
tests
right. them. Thank you for the info. Appreciate it.
Thanks, sir.
It's the number one movie in the U.S. now, the biggest piece of turd that's ever been made. Twitter does not like this movie.
Yeah.
No. What does Joe Myers, our movie guy, think of Jurassic World, whatever it's called, Dominion?
Dominion. It is bad, you know, but that number one thing is very deceptive. What I noticed about this movie was that they put it out on maybe the most screens that any movie has ever been on. There was one multiplex in New York that had it on more than half of the screens. Oh. I think Universal wanted to get it out for a fast hit before the word of mouth killed it. So, it was on many more screens than Top Gun was when it opened, and yet it didn't gross as much as Top Gun. So it's a bad movie that's not going to hang around long.
Yeah. What makes it bad?
What makes it bad?
It doesn't Where to have begin?
A, you know what? The shorter list might be what makes it watchable.
Right? Any what's redeeming, the, anything?
What's yeah. the good part? Yeah.
Yeah.
There's one scene in an airplane where they're attacked by a flying dinosaur that's pretty well put together, but that's just one scene. I mean, it really, you know what it really reminded me of was when the Japanese horror movies really went south, you know, when they started cranking out those Godzilla movies like Godzilla versus the Smog Monster.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and even the special effects in this one are nothing... you know, to write home about. They're very standard. And, you know, the first one was so awesome, you know, and sort of made new strides in special effects. It had a great story. It had a good cast.
Yeah.
I mean, the truth is the last three, these Jurassic World movies, you know, with Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard, have all been bad. And a friend asked me, well, is this worse than the previous two? And I said, well, I'd have to watch the previous two to make that judgment. And there's right. no way I would watch those again. You know, wow. they're just, it's like taking a good idea and just, you know, milking it until there's nothing left. And like, even the, you know, I was thinking even the music is uninspired, you know, John Williams passed on doing this one.
And really?
A guy named Michael Giacchino, I think is how you pronounce his name. So even the music is lame, you know, it's like the reverse of what we were saying about Top Gun Maverick, where they created a great summer movie, you know, a great sequel that really built off the original, in many ways surpassed it, you know, entertained people. That movie is holding up very well. You know, it's already the number one movie of the year. It passed Doctor Strange 2, and it's heading towards $1 billion.
Wow. Yeah. In just a few
this
weeks.
This movie, I think word of mouth is going to kill it. It really, you know, maybe undiscriminating kids. Like when I was a kid, I would go see all those Godzilla movies, right. you know, but I there's nothing here for adults, really.
I watched the trailer and what you said is correct. It's the same idea.
Yeah, it's like chases.
Every single one of these movies is greedy scientists messed with science,
yes. yeah.
and now all hell breaks loose.
Right.
And the good people have to clean up this mess.
Yeah.
And the plot, one of the plot devices is this evil company called Biosyn has regenerated prehistoric locusts, but they're programmed to only eat the crops of the farms that are not controlled by Biosyn.
You know,
just ludicrous, so that the price of their crops will go up, as if you can control these prehistoric dinosaur locusts.
Yeah, and that's in the trailer too. Just that swarm of locusts coming, chasing
yeah.
the kids, goes over the farmhouse.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's like this dark cloud, yeah. like around the kids. It seems like the entire trailer is people being chased.
Just always running.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The lady on the rooftop yes. running, the dinosaur jumps rooftop. I'm like, what is yes. this, the Bourne Identity? What's going on over here?
Yeah, I saw one.
And yet, like the later Godzillas, you know, there are good monsters and there are bad monsters.
Yes.
And like at the end, there's a big, big, big dinosaur that's threatening the entire cast, and then the T-Rex, you know, comes out, and the T-Rex is now heroic, and
yeah.
they fight each other. It's a Japanese horror movie.
It really is.
Scale.
Yeah. Yeah, this made it look better. Huh. Yeah, because it's the one scene that the yeah. one guy, I guess the one guy's like friends with the dinosaurs, because him and his daughter are like, you know, stand there, and there's this mommy yeah. dinosaur.
Is that Chris
and
Pratt?
And the baby yeah. dinosaur.
Probably.
And he's like petting it, like, he's like, calm down. yeah. I'll approach it, and he like pets the thing's
the
face.
The dinosaur
like,
whisperer.
Yeah.
I mean, at least he's attractive. He got some eye candy.
Well, yeah, and you know, but they brought back the three originals,
you know,
Laura Dern and Sam Neill,
different lizard,
and Jeff Goldblum, and they feel tacked on. They're like on a separate plot segment.
Yeah.
They do come together, you know, and they're all threatened together, but they really do very little with the old timers. You know, it's a sad affair.
How many movies? Well, let's look up how much did this cost to make and how much did it make in its first week?
It was over $180 million.
Yeah.
That it made this weekend?
To make it. Yeah.
I will say some of the
things. I think it was 140 something. I think it grossed 140 something.
That doesn't seem like a lot of money today to make a movie.
No.
So what you're saying about special effects, yeah, it's all
yeah.
a couple of guys in a room with a computer.
Broke even, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, they're not giving you much. You know, they're not really doing fan service, as they call it. You know, they're exploiting a property that once was very good, very right. popular.
Right.
It made $405 million if you include the worldwide.
Globally.
Yeah.
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 Well, there you go.
I mean, I will say in the trailer, there's like one cool scene where, like, there's some kind of fishing boat or something like that reeling in their hull. All of a sudden that sea
yes.
creature came
yes.
out and attacked,
yes.
you know, what they're yes. reeling in. That looked pretty cool. You know, there's some cool looking scenes, but it's probably just a piece of trash.
But, you know, in the previous one, too, they sort of established that dinosaurs are now roaming all over the world, you know, freely. And they don't really do anything with
behind
that.
Behind Will Milford.
There are dinosaurs in New York City, you know, and how do people cope with that? They totally ignore that in favor of this locust plague eating the crops.
Right. Or it's a drive us wrong. It's
very biblical.
Wait, there are dinosaurs just walking around New York City.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's on a tour on Tuesdays.
They're all, you know, because they were, I forget how that happened in the last one. Again, I blocked it out, but they sort of got loose and they just started roaming the world.
So does it seem like they're trying to make a statement with these locusts? And it just got lost.
Some kind of deep meaning.
Right.
Yes.
You know, the statement is the same statement you've seen in a million of these movies.
This movie sucks. Leave nature alone.
Big pharma is evil. You know what I mean? And they'll do anything to make a buck. And I mean, it's so ludicrous to think.
As the movie's doing anything to make a buck.
Right. Exactly.
It's like it's a movie about yourself, really.
Did you guys even get your own message?
Right.
You're the locust.
And not only do the locusts eat the crops, they eat the people. So when this would be revealed that this company had engineered this, you know, they would be in courts for the next 200 years.
Wow. Oh, wow. This guy helped a West Haven veteran get a new home, mortgage free.
Whoa.
Bill Thomas, President, Bank of America, Southern Connecticut, on the show. Good morning, and thank you for what you do.
Good morning, Chaz and AJ, and thanks for having me on this morning.
Absolutely.
Again, I just wanted to share a positive story about an activity that Bank of America was involved in recently.
Really cool. Yeah, bring us through this.
Sure. So just want to talk about a couple of things, talk about our home donation in West Haven, also talk about Bank of America's commitment to the U.S. veterans and the military nationally and locally, and talk a little bit about maybe some of our local employee volunteerism and support. And so specifically in terms of our home donation, we recently, in partnership with the Veterans Association of Real Estate Professionals, I'll call it VAREP, donated a newly renovated mortgage-free home to U.S. Air Force veteran Staff Sergeant Quindell Thompson in West Haven. This is this donation was actually part of Bank of America's efforts to help revitalize communities and support the housing needs of those who have served in the military.
It's two birds with one stone. You make the neighborhood a nicer place and you help a veteran.
Yeah.
A mortgage-free home.
Yep. I was going to say we've actually donated more than 2,600 homes nationwide to military veterans and the support charities that we work with. We work actually through community partners like VAREP. They identify the veterans and do all the various qualification, and they determine the nature of how it will be conveyed to that individual, either with or without a mortgage. So we basically provide the property through our inventory.
That's pretty cool.
That's nice. Very nice.
It's very cool, actually. Pretty cool. Yep. Very cool.
Extremely cool.
Yeah, and it really brought our Connecticut team together around this activity. The team locally at Bank of America actually, you know, wrote a bunch of congratulatory notes to the family. We provided a lot of housewarming gifts. We actually showed up with a Stock the Pantry drive 2 weeks ago and delivered 30 bags of food and gift cards and welcome gifts. And we even threw in a lawn trimmer for his new yard. So
nice.
It was really great to get our team involved.
This is the house was presented to U.S. Air Force Staff Sergeant Quindell Thompson.
That's correct.
Yes.
Right. And how do you go about selecting, or how did you go about selecting him?
Well, again, nationally, we work through various military-focused charities who identify potential recipients, and they screen them and go through a various process.
Right.
So,
gotcha.
So those partners come to us, and you know we work in partnership with those organizations.
This
individual has a remarkable background.
Yeah,
you know, he's a veteran of the Air Force. Did two tours of duty and developed an interest in technology during one of his overseas assignments. And now he's actually, through the post 9/11 GI Bill, he's actually attending school in Connecticut and hopes to graduate from college with a degree in computer science. Cool. So definitely transitioning from military to civilian life.
Beautiful.
That is something. You got to be really proud of what the bank did there.
We are, and you know, it's just a further commitment that Bank of America has to the veterans and the military. We've been supporting the military for over 100 years. We're active in terms of banking services to over 2 million veterans through our various banking centers, as well as banking centers on military bases. And we, Bank of America, really supports the veterans in three primary areas. We try to offer employment opportunities. We provide a bunch of veteran benefits to retirees who might be serving in National Guard or Reserve positions. And we also provide a lot of local charitable support to organizations in Connecticut, such as Homes for the Brave and
They're
Columbus
great.
House, who
yeah.
are providing services.
Those are all great.
Yep, good people.
We do an event every year for veterans for an organization called Help Our Military Heroes, and they provide specially equipped vans for veterans who, without it, wouldn't be able to get around.
Yeah, disabled, so, yeah.
You may want to come and enjoy, you know, just kind of check it out.
Yeah.
Hang out. I think you'd
I would
like
love it. To. I would love to. And they're actually not one of the partners we're working with, so we'd love to add them to our roster.
You'd be blown away by this story. It's a mother of a couple of veterans who she had so much anxiety when they were both serving at the same time. She said, I have to do something positive, and she created this organization. And they take no money. There's no overhead. Every penny that comes in goes to these vans. And she, you know, I don't want to say harassing, but she gets on top of the federal government to get money out of them to do the right thing.
Yep.
And that coupled with the donations that she gets from, you know, events like what we do, she's able to get these vans. She's the last time I checked, she was in 30-something, 40-something range of how many vans she's presented.
Yeah, quite a bit.
This is just a couple people doing all the work for free.
Yeah.
Tremendous advocate for the veterans in that community.
And very good people.
Bill, I think
That's
you'd
fabulous.
Like it.
Yep.
I think you'd like it. I'd love have you come
love
by.
To, love to talk to the folks there, absolutely.
What's your next adventure?
We're actually,
What's your next adventure?
Yeah, so we're wrapping up a Walk a Mile, Donate $10 campaign internally for our employees at the bank. This has been, you know, kind of tied into Military Support Month. And it actually, the program's ending today. We actually challenged all our employees to walk a mile anytime over the past 30 days and put on some red, white, and blue.
That's cool.
And for every teammate that participates, we're going to donate $10 to Homes for the Brave. And
that's cool.
We did this last year, and it was just fabulous.
That's really cool.
Wow.
Nice.
Do you know what the number is now, what you're donating?
We're still tallying. I'll come back to you with that figure.
Yeah.
But I know we did this last year, and it was a great way, particularly during the time period where people were kind of, not really actively getting together in groups, that it was a way to just participate. And it was very, several thousand dollars that ultimately went over to Homes for the Brave. So looking for big numbers this year.
Vince is going to be very happy.
Yes, this pleases Vince very much.
he's a great guy.
Yeah,
what a great organization that is. Not only do they find you, they get you off the street if you're homeless, but they get you trained to find a job. They help you with the interview process, the resume,
everything.
Give you some skills. It's a real deal. This is what some of these veterans need. They need the hand up. They need a helping hand.
It's our turn.
Exactly right. And on the flip side, you know, we've had a very active hiring program. We made a commitment in 2014, I believe, to hire over 10,000 veterans at the bank, and we've well exceeded that goal.
That's great.
I know personally I was involved in recruiting two retired military officers, and they're among our most outstanding employees. They've been fabulous, and just the work ethic and the process and the disciplines that they have.
Yes, what you want. Folks are just going to show up.
The respect for a chain of command.
Exactly, the whole nine yards.
They're the best.
I'm not going to come in today.
Yeah. They're the best employees.
Yeah.
we agree. We've got a lot of ways to help them be mentored in, you know, that transition and employees that they connect to. We have a very active employee network. We actually have 43 chapters across the U.S. We call it our MSAG, Military Support and Assistance Group. And we've got 11,000 members in that employee network. So
that's
it's a great
wild.
Way for them to be connected and share experiences as they transition into civilian life. So,
how many Bill Thomans?
We're all in.
Bill Thomans, President, Bank of America, Southern Connecticut. How many employees do you have for Bank of America in Southern Connecticut?
1,100 employees in Southern Connecticut.
Can you name them?
I try to.
Right. Aloysius.
But it's a substantial footprint for Bank of America. And in Connecticut overall, we have over 3,000 employees. So we are very focused on Connecticut as a place to live and work and excel and prosper. So we're trying to help do everything we can in our communities.
I like businesses that want to help the communities that they serve, right, and not just get money from the communities.
Exactly, yeah.
So we appreciate you helping the veterans and being a good community member.
Good people.
Our pleasure, and thanks for having me on this morning. It was great to speak with you.
You're always welcome here. Yeah, thank you, Bill.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now, and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.